This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. By the time he was 40, Francis Ford Coppola had achieved enough for more than one lifetime. In one decade, he wrote, directed, and/or produced Patton, the first two Godfather films, The Conversation, American Graffiti, and Apocalypse Now, five Oscars. Recently, he's been more prolific as a vintner than as a director. But this month, for the first time in 10 years, he has a new film out, and it's about a man who gets to have more than one lifetime. Youth Without Youth is Coppola's rendering of the novella by the Romanian emigre philosopher Mircea Eliade. Tim Roth plays an aged and suicidal academic who becomes young again when he's struck by lightning.
The enormous concentration of electricity that exploded directly above me regenerated me and amplified fabulously all my mental faculties. But this electrical discharge also made possible the emergence of a new personality, a sort of double.
Yes. The formula of the double is correct and useful.
But don't be in a hurry to tell the professor.
Youth Without Youth is a movie of ideas. It's a mystery that doesn't ask who done it, but what is it? What is time, memory, reality, knowledge? It's heavy going, and some of the less kind reviews have called it muddled or a mishmash. Well, Francis Ford Coppola says the Eliade story intrigued him for years. He wrote the screenplay, and he says he made precisely the kind of film that he wants to make at this stage of his life.
I trusted in my reaction to the story. I just found it very entertaining for on one level, you know, and the ideas that it began to put forward were very welcome to me. I think I must be at that age when to learn is the most exciting thing that there is, and I enjoyed this examination of, well, you know, what is the difference between reality and dreams, and what is the nature of consciousness that we all take for granted? We all know what it is because we have it, but if you really try to explain it, I've been interested in that because in film, I think we have such a wonderful film language that can express so many things, but how to show in a movie what someone is thinking is still very, very, I think, one of the most difficult things, whereas in a novel, you could write, you know, oh, she lay on her pillow and thought about the prince and he was blah, 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 blah. Whereas in film, we're much, much more limited. So I was always interested in what new ways a film could express the inner thoughts of consciousness.
The difference in accessibility and in entertainment value, let's put it that way, between the story of General Patton, where you wrote the screenplay, or the Godfather books. Clearly, this is a much more challenging set of ideas. It's a tough movie to keep people engrossed in.
Well, I wonder. I mean, I know that is the so. I knew it was a sort of risky movie for me to embark on. But, you know, I wonder if it's more that it's such a tough movie or whether or not movies themselves have been so continually dumbed down. Perhaps there isn't enough variety in the movies offered to the audience. Perhaps audiences would like films that are, you know, entertaining. I don't think Youth Without Youth is not interesting or entertaining, but it definitely operates on lots of levels. It is not afraid of ambiguity. It is not afraid of interesting ideas. I mean, generally, movies tend to be like telling children the story of the three bears, which is to say a story that they already know, and they love it. They want to hear it over and over again, but that's what's happened a little bit to our movie audiences, where you go to a studio picture and after 10 minutes I look at my wife and say, haven't we seen this movie before already a few times?
No one's going to say that 10 minutes into Youth Without Youth.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
You have been a screenwriter, producer, executive producer. Explain what the difference is with this movie, the relationship between you and this movie. It's your idea, it's your rounding up the backing for it, it's your finding the Romanians to act in it, it's your getting Tim Roth to be in it. What happens?
Yeah, well, generally, I mean, people are confused by what a producer is or what a director is. I explain it that a producer is sort of like the contractor when you're building a house and the director is the architect. It is, of course, probably the most collaborative field. I guess in previous century it was opera that brought so many disciplines together, but now the cinema really relies on talents from absolutely every field. And in this case, I also wrote the screenplay, and I was the director, and I really didn't round up the money. I just financed it myself, as I intend to do with all my films now from this last part of my career. And I can pretty much make films under $17, $15 million. I can afford to bankroll at that level.
That, I assume, gives you complete control over what you're doing.
Yes, and this may not sound like much, but even not to have to share your script and get a lot of people's notes. Now, you might say that that process of sharing your script and getting a lot of notes is a step that might make the film be more commercial or be more designed to reach a 14-year-old in Ohio as well as a 60-year-old in Los Angeles. But, you know, I feel since the cinema is such a collaborative work, I share the script and get notes from my editor and the actors and so many colleagues. And, I don't feel it's necessary to go through kind of market research. I think it's the market research aspect that's trying to eliminate risk in the movie that is partly what's wrong with films.
Even so, at $15 to $17 million, that's not a vanity effort. I mean, you obviously, there has to be some audience to justify the project in the end.
Well, I make movies in the same way I would cook a dinner. I mean, I want people to come and enjoy it. I don't want the dinner to be over and the people say, oh, that was interesting. I want to think about it. You know, of course, I feel that, really between us, I mean, is Youth Without Youth such a difficult narrative to follow? It moves in a straight chronology from 1938. An old man like Faust is given the chance not only to be young, but to gain knowledge and ultimately to have a chance to love again. I think the difference is that as it's a love story wrapped in a mystery, the mystery isn't just, oh, her previous husband was trying to kill her and that's why all these odd things were happening. The mystery has to do with the same kind of mysteries when I was 9 years old at summer camp, looking up at the stars, wondering what stars really were. I think people think about these things, wonder about them.
So from here on in, it's Francis Ford Coppola, independent filmmaker.
Well, I think in my heart I've always been an independent filmmaker. I think now I'm older, I'm 68 years old, and oddly and very strangely, I became wealthy in other businesses, in the wine businesses. I'm, in a sense, everyone who buys a bottle of Coppola wine is my executive producer and makes it possible for me to try to pursue movies that I feel passionate about, that I love, and that I make irrespective of whether they'll be commercial or not.
Well, on that note, I'd just like to say thank you for talking with us about it.
My pleasure.
Francis Ford Coppola's Youth Without Youth opens in limited release today. To hear Coppola talk about why he's tired of making and seeing violent movies, go to our website, npr.org/movies. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.